Right, as always, the Torah should be led Ishmael from Gershom and Mariali, because Yotza is this coming Sunday night, and it's in his schos, or in his in memory of him, that we have this shiur. And as we mention every week, certainly this week, the Torah that we learn should be the Ilu Nishmasu. The Baal Shem Tov at the beginning of this week's parasha quotes the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh on the words, Ve'ila HaMishvotim HaShev Tosim Yifneim, says the Zohar HaKadosh, Ilein Sedurin De Gilgulim. This parasha tells us about the order and how Gilgulim work. Where in this week's parasha do we see about Gilgulim? We see about Dinei Ben Adam Lechavero, we see about Dinim of damages and social interaction, but we don't really see anything about Gilgulim, Lechair. And this question was asked by the Mezrucha Magid, by the Hiriga Magid to the Baal Shem Tov. Where exactly, what is Pshat in the Zohar HaKadosh, that the Be'ela Mishpatim is the secret of Gilgulim? That we understand that you can have an Ashama that comes back into this world and infuses another Guf with the energy to live and the ability to gain more Gan Eden and be Mesakin itself for Gan Eden and then prepare itself to have a Tchiyas HaMesim. Where is that in this week's parasha? So the Baal Shem Tov told him to go to a particular forest. He pointed out for him a particular tree in a particular forest. He should sit underneath it. He should stay there till about 6 in the evening, and then he should go home. So the Magid went to this forest, in the clearing in the forest. He sits down underneath this tree. He's looking around, and he sees a gentleman who comes with a adorned horse, someone obviously of prestige and of wealth. He was very tired. He came to this clearing in the forest and he disembarked from his horse. He sat down, he ate, he drank, he had a little rest, and he got up and he went off, forgetting behind his money belt. In the meanwhile, someone else came along into this clearing in the forest, saw no one there, and saw a money belt lying there. Alright, finders keepers. And he walked off with it. Shortly afterwards, an Oni Meruda, a destitute poor man, came, was walking from one place to a different destination, and he became very tired. And he lay down in this clearing to take a sleep. Whilst he was fast asleep, the wealthy man who had lost his money belt returned to look for his money. And his money belt wasn't there, but lying there was someone who obviously was the culprit, who had taken his money belt and hid it away, and he remained lying there. And he gets hold of this person and he absolutely throttles him. And now this Oni Meruda doesn't know what's hitting, where it's coming from, why it's coming. And he's left there just about alive. And off goes the gentleman on his horse. Came 6 o'clock and the Magid went home. Having seen this, he was a little shocked. Didn't really understand how to explain it. And he came to the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov said, I'll explain to you. In the previous Gilgul, the gentleman who had been on the horse, who had left his money behind, had extracted in a Din Torah money from the second person who arrived and took it, Shalai Kedim. He had managed to extract that exact sum of money that was in the money belt that he left behind. The Rabbeinu Shalom had brought him to the wealth, had brought him to have that amount of money in his money belt, and to that place that he left it behind, and justly the person who had it taken away from him, who had also come back, or perhaps it was the same person, this person had come back and they gave back to that original neshama the money that he'd extracted incorrectly. And the person who got beaten up, that Oni, was the Dayan who had taken Shoichad. And that's what happened to him, that's why he got beaten up. And he explained that that's how Kodesh Baruch Hu has made the Gilgulim. We view things and we see things and we have no idea what's going on. We see events that don't make sense. We see situations that are impossible to explain, and we don't understand. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why does it happen in this way? Why does it happen in that way? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Seder, and there's a Seder of Gilgulim as well, where Neshamas come to this world to achieve a certain amount, leave this world after they've achieved it. They're here to achieve certain things, to interact with certain people, to enter into certain families, to enter into certain communities, and then once they've done that, they move on. We don't understand what that is and why they have those interactions, and sometimes it takes a great tzaddik like that to be able to be informed by another great tzaddik what he has just seen. But we don't see it, and it goes on around us the whole time, and we cannot question, therefore, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does certain things in certain ways. It's almost like the gentleman who walked into a shul, you know, on the Shabbos, and he sat there and he saw how the Gabba was giving aliyahs randomly. that guy got Cohen, and the guy then at the back got Levi, someone on the third row got Shlishi, and then he jumped to the second row for the back for Ravi, and then the guy at the fifth row for the back got Chamishi, Shishi went to someone sitting in the left hand row on the third from the back. He's just like random. He said, I don't understand. Well, there's no Seder here. You just keep jumping around the base of Medrash giving out aliyahs. Why don't you work from the front? Go to the front. You've got a Kohen and a Levi. And then Shlishi, Ravi, Chamishi, Shishi, Shri, Maftir. So the guy was said to him, when was the last time you davened here? Last week? No, the first time I'm here. So it's right, okay. So maybe daven here for a few months, and you'll see that there's a Seder during the year through which every person receives a relevant aliyah. And that's how we move around the base of Medrash. But if you're not here and you don't know how it's working from the Bima, then you don't understand how it goes from one to the other. Maybe with this person, he had Yahrzeit this week, he's a chassan. That person had an ankle. The other one just had a baby. The other one is going away. The other one had to bench Gomel for whatever it was. There's a seder for him, and that's why it works that way. You cannot come and ask a question without understanding what the Gabba has in mind. And it's exactly the same with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, the Rivosh, one of the Rishonim, during his time, was asked, a gentleman who was known to be a Yirei Shamayim Mirabim, was mafkid a certain amount of money by another trusted person. And he left it there and he went away. And months later, on his return, when he came back, the person who he had in charge with being his Shomer had passed away. He came to the children and he said to them, you know, I left with your father a certain amount of money as a pikadon, can I have it back? So they said, well, our father never told us anything about it before he died. We don't know of any money in his estate that belongs to you. He says, no, I'm telling you, I left it behind. This is the sum. This is the amount I left it with him. But we're unaware. We don't know. We can't really help you out. So they went to Beis Din. Beis Din said, in such a circumstance, the Yisomim make a shvur, and then they let off. That's what happened. And people were very, very shocked because they knew that the Mafkid was someone who was so honest and so devout and such a tzaddik that if he was said he left it, he definitely did leave it. And they came to the Rivosh and they asked the Rivosh, how could this be? How could this have happened? It says, Elokim nitzor ba'das keil, the Eibush is there by when there's a convention of a Beis Din, and when they convene, the Rebbeinu Shalom is there, the Shekhinah is there. How could it happen that this turns out? So he said to him, that's exactly what happened. The Hashgacha Pratis was there. He says, in the previous Gilgal, the Mafkid owed the Nifkad money. And he never paid him up. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mesavev Sivuvim over here, that he ended up giving it back to him. You know, and in all these cases, apparently the Chazon Ish said, both in that first story and in the second story, money in the first Gilgal was extracted Shalai Kedin. The Rebbeinu Shalom didn't make that person had it taken back from him Shalai Kedin. Because if so, you're just extending the process that there's going to need to be another Gilgal for people, because people have done things Shalai Kedin. What the Rebbeinu Shalom made was that the person who owed the money from the previous Gilgal ended up giving it to the person. The person who had been stolen from ended up receiving in a completely mutadik way what had been taken from them in the last Gilgal. And therefore, this parasha over here, where we have the parasha of Shomrim in our setting, we have the parasha of Dinim, of Bote Din and Dayanim, said the Zohar HaKadosh, within this parasha, it's clear to us that there is a Seder HaGilgulim. Because sometimes we will view things that go on in Beis Din and we don't understand. There may be even a person who knows that he doesn't owe the other person money. He knows he doesn't owe it to him. Yet the Beis Din extract the money from him.
Yeah,
says the Zohar HaKadosh, you should know, don't have tainas on the Beis Din. In the previous Gilgal, I probably owed that guy money, and this is the tikkun of my neshama. A shomer, a person, I know I left the money by him, I know I left it by him, and I can't get it out, the din doesn't allow me to get it out. Yeah. Ilei Sidra Gilgalaya. And we have to look at that with all the events that take place, which we cannot understand, that have to do with neshamas interacting with each other, and coming and leaving this world. The Rebbeinu Shalom has a cheshbon. We don't necessarily understand it, but there is a cheshbon, why they are here, when they are here, and how long they are here for. Later on in the parasha, the pasuk tells us about another halacha, im kesef talve es ami, which we know over here does not mean if But when Kesef Tavis Ami Oni Imach, and these are the halachas, the halachas tzedakah, that when a person has tzedakah to give, there's an order within, an order of preference as to where one gives one's tzedakah. One first starts off by giving it to a person in one's own city before giving it to a person in a different city. Some Rishonim learn that Eretz Yisrael has a din of Ircha as well in certain circumstances. And Eseoni Imach, that's what's learned from that pasuk. And Kesef Tavlitz Ami, Rashi says, if you've got a choice between a Yid and a Goy, the Yid comes first. Between an Oni and an Oshir who's losing out and needs help, you first go to the Oni. Aniyah Ircha v'aniyah Ir Acheres, aniyah Ircha Koydin. How do you say it? In Kesef Talbe, es Ami. First of all, you give it to Ami, you Yid. Which type of Ani? Es Ani. And which type? Imach, in your city. That's the Baal Yosha Dibra Emes, one of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. He said a drosha on this pasuk. So the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Memhei Amud Aleph tells us, someone who answers Amen shouldn't raise their voice louder than the person who's made the bracha. So if the person who's made the bracha has made their Amen in a certain level, one shouldn't, pashtus is a halacha, not to raise one's voice louder than the Mavarech. In the Pnimius of this Gemara, as we know, the Vemagon said that in every shtickle Gemara there are a certain amount, that he wouldn't change a girsa in the Gemara without having a certain amount of rayas from Nigla and from Nista before you would change it. It's threaded and enshrined with and shrouded in abused so much of Nista as well. And we've got to know that it's there, inside of Torah. So he says, when it says there, Oino Amen, someone shouldn't answer Amen louder than the Mavarech, this is also hinting to, we have a Mavarech. What's the Mavarech? Is our Neshama. When we say every day, Koil HaNeshama Tehalel Ka, Lelu Kol HaNeshama. The Neshama is Mahalel Ka. Our Neshama is the Mavarech. And we shouldn't raise our voice, Yosef, min ha-mavarech. That means, a person has to be an ish emes. Gotta know where I'm holding. I can't go around raising my voice, making out as if I'm on Madrigas, louder than my neshama is at the moment infusing in it. That means my neshama and my nefesh have reached a certain Madriga. At the moment I'm holding on Madriga 5. I shouldn't try and daven in a way that I look like I'm on Madriga 10. And try and daven like the tzaddik who I know has already reached those madrigas.
Are we meant to know what madriga we're on? That not say
that. Well, Adam Yodeas Moras Nafsho. Person sort of knows where. Every person knows their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where it is. And I know that there's a tzaddik there. This is the tzaddik who davens in certain ways and he says certain things and he's mechaven certain kavanas and I try to do that. You know what I mean? Ali Agbia is kola Yosef min
ha-mavarech. About Karen's coming.
Yeah, okay, that's a minute. You know, actually, Napoleon once said that the Jews are really, really clever. He once went past a Stalin, a Beis Medrash. You know, they all scream. I heard this from a Stalin, by the way. That's a disclaimer. Yeah? And Napoleon went by and he said, the Jews, they're such geniuses. They're more than I even thought. They take all the Meshuggah and they put them all in one Beis Medrash. So he says that the goof of a person shouldn't try and show as if it's more than it really is. However, he says, we do know that when a person brings Bikurim, it says there, V'onisa, V'omarta, from which Rashi says, we learn from there, V'onisa, V'omarta, we learn from Gzir Shavah, that a person should raise their voice. Like it says, V'onu halavim, and they answered Amen, they raised their voices, they shouted. Well, you're in Beis HaMikdash, and there we're told that we should shout. So he says, there are times where a person feels, there are moments of inspiration that a person feels. There are times when a person feels that the Rebbeinu Shlom has given him something where he's inspired to feel closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That even though he knows he's not on that Madrega, the inspiration of the moment propels him momentarily to a tshuka and a desire and a bankshaft and a wanting to be on a higher Madrega. And that is an expression of his neshama that it can reach it and it wants to reach it. It's going to hit reality again, but then it knows what it wants to work towards. And at that time, when a person is in that moment of inspiration, when a person is in that moment of tshuka to gadlus and feels it, that's a point when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, then it's fine. Then it's fine for you to express in yourself an emotion and an action with your guf that is higher than the madriga you find yourself on. And he hints that too in this pasuk. He says, in kesef, If you have kesef means can mean silver, also there's a lashon of nichsefa v'gam kol sanafshi. If you have kisufin, if you have a desire, you have a hislavos, a feeling of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you want to be meida to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you should know es he'oni, the ania, the raising of your voice, imach, is for you to be able to do that with your guf, even though it's yosem min ha'mavarech. Why? Because at the moment you're experiencing within you an elevated state momentarily. But at that moment, then use it. Use it and allow yourself to express it. For a person to do that constantly and daily, it's not where we're holding. But when we have those moments of inspiration, and that can come. It can come sometimes during davening. It can
night.
Come.
I can't different.
You've got all different situations where different people will connect to different things. Use that. Use that opportunity, and then we can say im kesef talve. If you feel that the kisufin, then I say oni imach. Then you're allowed to raise your voice, and a person can feel that closeness. And the truth is, that's when interacting with people as well. We have to know that even sometimes where we may feel in a certain aspect that they've achieved madrigas in certain things, and they're trying to inspire others to reach those madrigas as well. One cannot expect those people to be mislahiv and to be oina or main like they do. Yeah. And one has to lower oneself to them. One has to know that oina or main shouldn't only yetsam in amavarech. So we have to be, as the mavarech, we have to make sure that we don't put them in a situation where they are answering higher than their, making their answer higher than their neshama. But at the same time, there are moments where we can give that inspiration and allow that to happen, if it's from inspiration of a moment, but then also always being cognizant of aware of the next possible is midvar sheker tircho. Can't fool ourselves. We've got to know the madriga that we're holding and aspire to go higher. Later on in the parashah, perek chof beis, pasuk chof ches. A few psukim later. The Rebbeinu Shalom says to Klal Yisrael, Meleoscha v'dimacha loisa acher. Meleoscha is when your fruit becomes ripe and you have a chiyuv to bring bikurim. V'dimacha is a lashon of dema of truma. Loisa acher. The pashtus of that means don't change the order around. There's an order with which different matanis have to be brought. Bikurim has to precede truma. Truma has to precede maiserishon. Maiserishon has to precede maisersheni. And if one brings one before the other, then one is transgressing this lav over here of loisa acher. And the Sfarim bring down, I see here, I say, with Divrei Yirmiyahu, that he says that there's another message over here in this pasuk as well. It says, a person plants his field. He's there with the seeds. He's walking through the field, making sure that the seeds are falling neatly into the furrows, and then the soil is being tilled over to settle over them. And he's walking there, and he's looking heavenlyward, and he's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, you know what? If this works, and every day I'm going to make sure I'm up to daven the right time, I'm going to make sure to do my seder limud, and I'm going to make sure that I'm doing my ma'aseh chesed, just please make sure this grows. He realizes at this moment he's totally in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'll do what I need to do for you. I hope you're going to reciprocate. That's the way a person may think at that time. And then, Baruch Hashem, starts the buds push through the ground, and things start growing. And they're growing in abundance. He starts to get busy, and he forgets a little bit about, it's always how we feel sometimes, the beginning of the year, where we know we need so much from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we make all of our Kabbalahs, and we say, listen, Rebbeinu Shlomo, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to do the other, just make sure that our year is successful, and make sure, I mean, around this time of the year, we start to just take stock and wonder, are we still holding there? So the Pasuk, Meleoscha V'dimacha, when you said what you were going to do, and you said it with tears in your eyes, asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us what we need. Lo sa'acher. Don't delay it. Make sure that it's there, and it's there at the beginning of every day. Our tefillah is there at the beginning of every day, and that we're looking to the Rebbeinu Shalom for what he wants us to do at the correct time and in the correct way. They say slightly different shot is Meleoscha, when things are full, then sometimes harder to look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's when we're lacking and when we need something, then we ask, when things are full and we've got what we want, we've got to remember the tears we had at the beginning and lo sa'acher, and not delay. The Chofetz Chaim, they say over once, it was a story, he had a banker who came to Dublin. He had a minion later on in his life, he had a minion in his house. Different people would come, and there were people who would come from different places to Dublin with the God Ladur. And one of the, a very, very prestigious banker came to daven in the minyan one day. And after the davening, the Chofetz Chaim walked over to him and said to him, you don't need to go to work today. I mean, what is the Chavetz Chaim? No, I'm going to win a lottery. What's going to be with me? He was a little bit, no explanation, and it was very, just a zog. So he went over to the Chavetz Chaim's son-in-law, and he asked him, what does your shvei mean? So he said, my shvei means come back tomorrow and daven slower. A little shock. Came back the next day, Yitake, you daven slower. After daven, the Chavetz Chaim walked over to him and said, today you should go and work. So he said to him, yesterday when you davened, you had obgedavened, you were watching him, and he was zooming through davening and then keeping an eye on him, as if like, well, one second, you're watching him, or you would need to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on that day, he said, listen, that tefillah didn't really work today, don't go to work. The next day, where you ignored him and you davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was a tefillah, now you can go and work. And personally, we have to be careful at times of success, in times of being successful, to make sure that lo sacher, we don't delay in those things that we took on to do. Sefer over here, the Masechta Torah. Rav Zevin on this week's parasha on the pasuk in Perek Chof Gimel, pasuk Yud Beis, he has a beautiful pshat. He really has a posh chikasha which brings out this pshat. Perek Chof Gimel, pasuk Yud Beis, the pasuk says, Sheishes Yomim Taase Masechta. 6 days of the week, do what you need to do. Make sure to work in order to provide parnasa. Uvayim hashvi'i tishvos. And on the seventh day, rest. Leman. Now, we know, whenever it says leman by a mitzvah, leman yidu doroseichem kivasukas eshavtes b'nei Yisrael. Leman tiyeh toras Hashem b'ficha. This is like the kavona of the whole mitzvah, is you should remember Anani HaKovid. That's the kavona of the mitzvah of sukkah. The kavona of the whole mitzvah of tefillin is leman tiyeh toras Hashem b'ficha. The kavona of the mitzvah of Shabbos is leman yonuach shorcho v'chamerecho. That your ox and your donkey should rest. So come on. That's the tachlis. We know the whole thing of Shabbos is that a person who's got a nefesh and who's got a neshama and is a chelek elokam imal and gets a neshama yaseira on Shabbos, he's meant to absolve himself from what he does during the week and connect with his neshama yaseira. That's it. It should be leman that you should be dovuk HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you should appreciate your neshama yaseira. What's it? So that your shoycha v'chamerecha, that they should relax, they should. So he explains and he says that every person, as we know, every person is made up of a multitude of different kochos in a completely different mizug, depending on who the person is, where they come from and where they are. We have just, every one of us has a unique combination of the different kochos within us. Within those kochos, you could sort of sum them up in two primary groups. It says there's one group which is hinted to as the shoyer part of a person. And we know there's a shoyer hamur, it's got this fire inside it. It's an animal which has chamimus, and it can be inspired, it can be antagonized.
I've been chased by cows twice. Made angry. I heard it, seriously. Yeah.
So it's a shoyer hamur, it's got that chamimus, it's got it. Mitzad sheni, you have a chamur. The Gemara says about a chamur that b'tzkufas tamuz, Kufas Tammuz, yeah, go to Eretz Yisrael, it's Kufas Tammuz, where it's like it's a virtual sauna outside in Eretz Yisrael, but a chamoyer in Kufas Tammuz is karirale, it's still cold. And that's much like the karirus of a person. Every person has inside them a chilek which is a shoyer, a chilek which is a chamoyer. Early on in the parasha, he says with Derech Drush, ki sifka shoyer o yivcha, you meet the person, the shoyer of your friend, or his chamor toya, wandering. Hoshev tishivenelo, return it to him. He said, this is also talking about the kochos hanefesh of a person. He said, the fire that we have inside us, the passion and the power of character, needs to be invested in avodas Hashem and in gemilus chasadim. And when it comes to the krirus, the kalkite, we should save that for dvarim chomrim, for things of gashmias. We shouldn't get too inspired and too involved and too fired up by them. But sometimes, kisivka shoyer yivcha, or chamor etoyer, you find the yetzahara has taken a person's shoyer, or his chamor, and he's reversed the order, that when it comes to dvarim of gashmias, he's got him inspired and fired up and infused and involved and completely wired up, and when it comes to dvarim shuruchnias, he's got him like a chamor. He's even in times where there's chamimus around him, he's gone cold. Hoshev tishivenu lo. the way that a person has to go and see someone who's got those mixed up and wired in the wrong way, we've got to make it come right. He says on Shabbos, a person has a time where we've worked the whole week, we've been involved in what we need to do and making our parnasa. So come Shabbos, it's got to be ki'ilu melachtecha asuya. Everything's done. It's finished. I've got to, even if I'm in the middle of a deal, I've got to try my mind to make it as if it's done. It's a done deal. It's either been done or it's not going to be done. But that's it. There's no, I have a complete mituk, a complete break from what I've been doing during the week. And now it's Shabbos. He says, what's the purpose of that? That's leman yonuach shorcha b'chamerecha. Some of us, with regards to what we do during the week, we're like a shor. We're fired up, we're inspired, we're passionate, and we're involved. Some of us, what we do in the week, it's with a chamer, it's with a kriros, it's with a weakness, with a kalkite. Comes Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, v'ayim ha-shvi tishvos. With regards to what you do during the week, there's a cessation, there's a break, it's now Shabbos. For what? Leman yonuach shorcha b'chamerecha. Give that a rest from what you, the way you do it during the week. And in Shabbos, allow your neshama yisera to take over. It's dvarim shel ruchniyim, it's connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a day where a person can be inspired to connect with Hashem. In the times of Rav Shrira Gaon, there was a very, very wealthy man who passed away, leaving behind a massive estate. And within that estate, he had a Sefer Torah. A Sefer Torah which the Mesorah of his family had, that this Sefer Torah was a Sefer Torah written by none other than Ezra HaSofer himself. And after this person passed away, he had two sons. Each of them really wanted the Sefer Torah. And he came to Rav Shrira Gaon to help them to paskin, who should get what. So he said, you know what, you make a goyim. The goyim is, one of you gets Sefer Torah, the other one gets the rest of the estate. That Sefer Torah is worth everything. Written by Ezra HaSofer, it's the Masorah, it's got everything in there. And the other one gets the rest of the estate. So each one was hoping and davening that he was going to get the Sefer Torah. And it became public knowledge, you can imagine, that something like that becomes like wildfire, creeps through the shtetl of the town or the city where it happened. In that city, Rav Nachman, there was a mummer there who couldn't bear the fact that there were Yidden who were prepared to forgo a wealth, an extensive wealth, for a Sefer Torah. It irked him so much that he decided he's actually going to go and tamper with that Sefer Torah. And he went into the shul where that Sefer Torah was being kept one day. He walks in, opens the Aron HaKodesh, takes out the Sefer Torah, takes it to the bima, or to the table, and opens it up, and it happens to have been in this week's parsha. Opens up, staring at him, the pasuk, chof gimel, pasuk chof hei, va'avadatem es Hashem elikechem, and you should serve Hashem your God, u'beirachas lachmacho ves me'mecha, he will bench your bread and your water, va'asirisi machalom mikirbecha, and the Chazal actually hint from here the importance of having pas shachris lachmacho me'mecha, and having something to drink in the morning, and that removes all illnesses from a person. Kigematria machala. That's the pegimel chaloim that are in the Mara.
That's gematria Talmud. Oh, Gemara in the morning.
Yeah, that's another. Yeah. So he says like this. Hashem, you should serve Hashem your God. The mummer looked at that and said, "Ah, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to swap the ayin of the avadatem, and you should serve Hashem, for an aleph
avad,
to destroy HaKadosh." And he did that. Put the Sefer Torah back. Put it in Aron HaKodesh. Came leaning on Shabbos, and the son who had received the Sefer Torah about Schwarzvater, you get news. This basically proves it's not Ezra HaSofer's Sefer Torah. Now I've just given away all that wealth for something that's basically a part of the Sefer Torah. He became physically ill from this experience to the point that he was dying. One night, his father comes to him in a dream. And he says, I want to tell you this Sefer Torah that you got. I never lied to you. I never lied to the family. This is the Sefer Torah of Ezra HaSofer. And this is what happened. And he tells him the whole story about this mummer and what took place. And he says, in order to just prove to you that this is taka what happened, if you'll go and you'll have a look under the bima in the shul, you'll find one of the eyes of the mummer that is now missing from his eye, because he changed the ayin for an aleph, And as ayin tachas ayin, you'll find his eyeball underneath. He's missing an eye from now. That eyeball is in the shul underneath the bim. Others say that that also b'derech neis, father told him it's going to be changed back to an ayin, whatever it was, or they had to do it with the sofer. That part of the story I don't know. Ad kan, the story of Rav Shiravan. Here he got up to Rav, Oyev Yisrael. He says with this, he explains Pshat in the Pasuk in Megillas Esther. Next week, when this Shabbos, Shabbos Mavrachim, Adorishan, the Mishnah Nichnas Ador, Marav Mesimcha begins with Adorishan as well. And therefore, we're already allowed to talk about and discuss. Pasuk in Esther, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Dalad. Esther Amalka says to Achashverosh, Ki nimkarnu ani v'ami. My people and I have been sold. Lahashmid, laharoig, laavid. Ve'ilu laavodim v'lishvodim nimkarnu. Had we been sold to be servants and maid servants, Seferashti, I would have been quiet. But actually, we've been signed and sealed to be killed. Achashverosh says, "Mi uzeveiza u Hashem eloi libo laasiske." Hello. Achashverosh, have you lost your mind? You do you not remember when you sat together with Haman HaRasha and he doled out all this money, telling you how he's going to get rid of all the Jews and he'll refund you with taxes from other places and he won't lose out? And you signed and sealed on that, you gave him your signatory, you hated them just as much, you don't remember, me who's Ebezu, well, you've suddenly forgotten. He says, after all, I don't know what's going on here. He says, maybe what happened was that early on in Perek Yimel Pasuk Tes, Haman came to Achashverosh and he says, Imal HaMelech Toiv, you kosev la'avdom, which Achashverosh understood is la'avdom in an ayin. Take them as servants. Take them as servants. They'll be yours. You're not going to lose out from taxes that they may have been making in their extensive businesses. They'll do work for you. You've got a whole nation working for you. And Achashverosh said, yeah, it's a great idea. And when Haman then went and wrote the Gezerah, he wrote it with La'abdom, with an Aleph, to destroy them. So when Esther comes, she says, had it been la'avodim with an ayin that we taka would have been sent to servants, it's fine. But someone's changed that. That we're not a servant anymore. We're meant to be killed. Says Achashverosh, who is that? I gave permission for you to be made servants. I never gave permission for you to be killed. Ah, so then she understood. That's why he said me. He didn't know it was Haman. From his understanding, Haman had taken it to be with an ayin rather than to be with an aleph. That's the after of. On the Megillah, the Oyev Yisrael, the Abdarab. Okay, that's I think what we have time for this week. Look forward to meeting again. I won't be here next week, but hopefully there'll be someone else who will take over. And we'll be back the week after, prior to Purim Kafim.
I heard the Mordechai Mazel.